La primavera llegó y eso significa limpieza a tope. Ya sea que necesites comprar cositas de limpieza o cambiar tu ropa de invierno por ropa fresca, asegúrate de usar iBora para recuperar dinero por cada compra. Ahora mismo, iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por descargar usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve al App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
The football pod. The booing and the jeering and the anticipation. And then as he strikes it, there's that intake of breath because he puts the bloody ball 14 yards beyond.
The second he hits it, I knew we were under pressure.
Subscribe to the football pod on the OTB Sports app now.
GAA Late Night. Live every Sunday evening, 8:30 on Twitter Spaces. Follow at Off the Ball.
In partnership with Guinness 00. 100% Guinness, 0% alcohol. More social occasions off the GAA pitch are yours for the taking.
Hello folks, how are you all doing? You're very welcome along to another edition of GAA Late Night, brought to you with thanks to Guinness 00. More social occasions off the GAA pitch are yours for the taking. Sarah O'Donovan and Ronan O'Neill are my co-hosts this week. Please do call in and have your say, whether you're from Kerry or Galway or anywhere around the country and want to have your say on this weekend's Gaelic football, hurling and camogie. Sarah and Ronan, you're very welcome. How are you?
Not too bad, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
In good form. The Kerry lads will have a great weekend.
Oh God, yeah, they will. Can we just start, guys, with what you made of that final run? Because sitting in the stadium, 66 minutes, Galway draw at level. It's like, uh-oh, this one is going down to the wire, and then Kerry just pulled away. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was extremely fascinating final. I didn't think it was going to be as close as that. I know there's a lot of talk about Kerry would maybe pull away towards the end, but I had a sneaky feeling just as the week went on that Galway would stay in touch and maybe, you know, bring it to the wire. It was extremely fascinating battle between two sets of forwards, trying to break down two defensive systems as well. So it definitely served up for All-Ireland final, definitely.
Sarah, what did you make of it all?
Yeah, I suppose I was wondering, I actually was quite stubborn 2 weeks ago, and I think I gave Barry from Galway an awful doing saying that Kerry would win it by 6 points.
Very confident.
I was very confident. And Galway came at him for 45 minutes. And then I think what I spoke about them necessarily sitting back and allowing Kerry on top of them is kind of what happened late on. Like Gavin White came into it, Adrian Spillane, Paddy Clifford. You know, they got at them late on because I felt Galway sat on late on. And I wonder when they watch back the video, will they feel like they sat too deep in those last kind of 10 minutes, because Kerry obviously outscored them by 6 points.
I wonder, like, Ronan, what did you make of that? Did you feel like Galway changed their system, or did they just run out of legs? Like, Killian Spillane made some impact in that second half.
Yeah, I definitely thought that Galway used so much energy in the first half, you know, to stamp their authority in the game, stay within touching distance, to not make sure that Kerry were probably in a 4 or 5 point lead at half time, you know. And then again, they stayed with them. You know, then I know they were down 14-12 at one stage. They were 16-14. And to get back to 16-all, they used so much energy. And to get back to that, they just ran out of legs, maybe a bit of ideas, which probably showed they used Fernando Lee as their sub. And then they used two other boys who probably haven't seen as much game time, you know, up until now. Yeah. So, Kerry's quality off their bench sort of showed, bringing in Killian Spillane, Adrian Spillane, you know, added so much energy towards them. And just Kerry's probably experience go down the stretch, probably from the last day, probably played its toll as well. So just think Galway just ran out of steam towards the end.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. And there's a couple of Galway people listening in. Barry Cullinan, one of our regulars, is listening in. So Barry, if you're in a safe place where you feel free to turn on the mic there and have a chat with us if you'd like to have a chat here in GAA Late Night. And if anyone would like to call in and have their say, please do just hit request to speak and we'll let you in to have a chat with Sarah and Ronan. Sarah, the performances of David Clifford and Shane Walsh, let's just linger on that for a minute, because we were treated to two of the greatest individual performances in Croke Park, I feel, in an All-Ireland final.
I agree with you 100%. 9 points from Walsh, 8 points from Clifford. the marks, the running, the sidesteps, like absolutely sensational football. You'd absolutely feel for Shane Walsh now. He gave it absolutely everything.
Sorry,
this is Richie. Come on in, Richie. Where are you calling?
I'm calling from Coot Hill here in Cavan.
Come on, Richie. Have a say here. Go on.
Well, I thought it was a great match overall. Like, but there was a few dodgy kickouts there on Galway side, and I think that let them down. And then there was a few challenges there. It was down to the wire, like as I was saying earlier. And I just said, like, you know, it was a fair match, and Kerry went ahead like they do, and they're back as normal champions, and they're there and they're holding the cup. So
Ronan, do you think their game management, Galway's game management, when they look back on it, let them down?
Possibly, yes. I think when I went 16-all, I think they should have probably soaked up a little bit more pressure, you know, just to bring it up to maybe the 70th minute mark. But I thought they just, as they tired a wee bit, they allowed runners. Paulie Clifford got in for a handy score, you know, not been tracked. Graham Solomon got in for a handy score as well, again, not been tracked too. So if they look back at it, you know, they probably should have set up in their defensive structure with a double sweeper to, you know, invite Kerry to bring them on, put 15 behind it, and then really, really test Kerry's resolve in terms of how to break down their defensive system. So yeah. I just thought maybe just their lack of game management, as you say, Sarah, and just their energy seemed to just deflate a wee bit towards those last 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Let's bring Barry in here. Barry, turn on the mic there, Barry, and have your say. I'd like to hear what the feeling is in Galway.
Yeah.
Hard luck.
Yeah, I don't think that's the feeling, to be honest. I think overall, you know, we can have no complaints. I think Kerry just finished the game stronger, had more impact off their bench, and maybe show that they have a little bit more, you know, they've been around the block a little bit more than this Galway team mostly played in a previous All-Ireland final. But, you know, I suppose we were lucky to be at the game, see two footballers that were, you know, they're at the top of their game. They're two of the best in the country. And I thought, you know, Shane Walsh, would he get man of the match? I'm not sure. He probably won't. I would imagine David Clifford will get it. But Shane Walsh's performance is outstanding. But David Clifford was, you know, he was outstanding. And when we spoke during the week, everyone kind of said, look, if we can get a handle on David Clifford, we're in with a right chance. We're in with a right chance of winning the game. And unfortunately, we just couldn't. And maybe in the first half, he didn't have as much of an influence from open play, but he had 3 good marks. It was obviously a tactic they were going after. And, you know, just overall, he was the key for them.
Yeah, it seemed like the system in general, though, the defensive system in general, Barry, worked very well. Like, Liam Silk did a superb job on Sean O'Shea, negating him from play. Paddy Clifford, it took him a long time to get into that game, and he did eventually in the second half. He was very important late on. But Galway caused Kerry serious problems in that first 35 minutes.
Yeah, they did. Galway played very well defensively and offensively. You know, obviously Shane got some good scores, but John Daly set up a lot of good scores. Thought Rob Finnerty was influential in the first half. Defensively, we got all our matchups spot on. It was funny to see Kieran Malloy going and Paul Gainey. That was one I didn't see coming, but Paul Gainey was gone by half time. David Moran was gone by half time. And Kerry looks to void enough of ideas in outside of kicking in long high ball, which did work, in fairness to them. You know, if you have someone from Kerry on, which I'm sure you will, they'll probably say, look,
Galway had a few opportunities there to send in a few balls into the forwards there, and they just didn't take them. There was open spaces there for forwards to run into, and they just didn't play the ball in, you know?
Yeah, in the first half, is it?
In the first half there, yeah.
Yeah, but possibly. Maybe they didn't put it in as high, but I thought John Daly kicked 4 great points. Like we got a lot of good scores. Maybe Damien Comer didn't get as much ball as we would have liked, but in fairness to Jason Foley, he really came of age with a full back, and he had him well tied up. But yeah, maybe Galway didn't get the ball in fast enough. But I thought system wise we got our matchups right. Liam Silk was excellent, and Don O'Shea, Jack Lane had a big influence in the first half. I think it just came down to Kerry finished the game stronger and did more impact off their bench. I thought we struggled. We certainly struggled in the middle of the pitch in terms of when kickouts went long. Kerry won. They won. I don't know what the stats were, but they won a vast majority of long kickouts, and we struggled that way.
They definitely dominated, Barry. I'm just going to bring in Brian McKenna here. Brian, you're calling in from Tyrone, I believe. Would you like to chat to our panel here on GLA?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the game now, it was a great game of football. And I just thought it was definitely Kerry's bench for one and end for them. You know, well, Galway have some great footballers, as many as Kerry, but it's just the bench for Kerry won it for them. And I think the lad, them Galway should be very proud. They should be very proud of their performance. They'll be back, I'm sure, next year.
Ronan, just on picking up on what Brian McKenna was saying there about the bench, like the Tyrone panel last year was absolutely massive towards your
side. Hello, can you hear me?
I know that. Brian, we can hear you, yeah, but I'm just going to move on to chat here slightly to Ronan. I'm going to ask him a question off the back of what you're saying. Ronan, the bench, how important is it really? Like this. Thanks, Brian. You were just breaking up a wee bit there.
Oh, it's massively important. Sure, you've seen through those golden years of Dublin how important they were. Their bench was stacked with so many good players that they came on, and they're probably known as finishers. That if games were ever so tight or they're in the melting pot, that they'd two or three, four players, mostly forwards, to come in and to finish off teams in that crunch period. So ourselves last year, we obviously had a number of good players sitting on the bench, but they came in and made a massive impact, especially Cahill and Dara. So when you have a squad like that and you have players willing to sacrifice their own game to be that player, which is not a nice... Every player wants to obviously start, but when you have a team like that, one of roles to come in and finish off teams, you know, it makes your team so much harder to beat. So it's a massive, massive impact, and it's a massive advantage to have too, especially in All Ireland semi-finals and All Ireland finals when the games are in the melting pot.
Building the panel doesn't just happen overnight, I presume. Like, that's a couple of years in the making. Do you think that Galway, like we spoke about it before, Galway's turnover from 2018 is insane. Well, from that semi-final that they were last in against Dublin, only five players remained. Do you think that Pádraig Joyce, the next step for Galway, is getting back to that final and having a bit more punch off the bench? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, it probably is.
Good young team coming on. I'd say they're ready to go at it now next year again.
Yeah, so they probably would imagine, and when he gets back to club, they go back to club football, they'll be looking at club championship and probably looking at players who could probably serve up to that standard. It's not easy to come up in from different clubs into the kind of scene. It normally takes 18 to 21 months for the people to come in, unless you're a freak or a special talent. So yeah. He'll probably be looking for people from a forwards perspective just to help out Rob Finnerty and Damien Comer and Shane Walsh when the game does get tight, or somebody in around the middle third who's legs and pace and he can break lines. Someone like has the same effect as Killian McDade. So I'd say when they look back in the year, they're probably looking just to add two, maybe three players that can come in and make a difference, if not from the starting, and push the starters on, but definitely from the bench.
Barry, are those players in the county?
Time will tell. Obviously, yeah, the club championship's going to be important. I thought maybe someone like Paul Kelly or Owen McLaughlin could have maybe saw a bit more game time today. But we have a lot, there is a lot of young talent who have been successful at underage over the last couple of years. But it's very difficult, particularly with the level of conditioning and the level of athleticism top intercounty teams are at the moment. It's going to be very difficult to find someone in the club championship that's going to have an impact in terms of the Galway panel automatically next year. I think the biggest message that Pádraig will have is that the players that are there at the moment, they need to go and dominate a club championship. And I think if they can put that on the back of having a really good inter-county season, then it bodes well for them going into next year. And you know, it might stand to them coming down the stretch in an important game next year where they struggle a little bit this year.
Yeah, definitely. Sarah, did you get worried for Kerry at any stage?
If I'm being honest, no. I thought the statement of intent after halftime coming out so early, I'd say Jack said, get out there and sort this out, boys, because, you know, we're in the doghouse here. Galway came out probably 5-6 minutes after Kerry. And I think that in indication of Kerry's, I suppose, their plan to kind of sort out the wrongs of the first half was evident with that decision to come out so early.
You think, say that again, sir? Sorry, I missed you there. Say that again.
The decision from the Kerry lads to come out
early. Yeah.
So early. Like they, geez, I'd say they were in the dressing room maybe 7 minutes and they were back on the pitch. And I think that was a kind of a key factor for me in terms of them deciding, look, we've to sort this out.
I hadn't thought of it like that. That's right. And Jack was obviously ruthless at halftime. Like he whips off David Moran and Paul Gainey. They hadn't clicked for them, but they're two players that have given a serious amount to carry over the years. You would have expected them to give something in that game as the game went on, but O'Connor made his calls very early.
There was more of a surprise that Moran was taken off than Gainey. I think Gainey wasn't firing. He had hit the second wide. It was the Moran call was the one, because if you remember when Kerry played Cork, Cork were in that game for 50, 55 minutes, and it was the last 15 minutes where Moran kind of settled into it and brought them home. And I suppose that's what I would be saying is, geez, that was a big call to bring him off at halftime when he's been doing it late in games.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, it was a massive call. We have a couple of speakers on the line. I'm going to bring in John McHugh. John, do you want to have a chat here with our panel, Ronan O'Neill and Sarah Donovan?
Yeah, Tommy, how are you? Going on what Barry just said there, I'm just wondering with the loss of someone like Michael Daly to the Galway camp this year. I think he was in the panel early in the year and whatever happened, I'm not sure. And even, I think, from Mount Bellew as well, the likes of Barry McHugh, would they add depth? He's no relation, by the way, actually, anyway. But would they add depth to the...
Are you a Galway?
I'm Roscommon. Roscommon with 1 foot in the Galway camp. Fiance, a Galway woman.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, 100%. Barry's actually just dropped off there. Barry was only calling in as a guest. I'm sure he's on his way home after today. But I think, look, I was chatting to Ian Burke today. You know, there's another fella that could possibly have something. I think it's funny, intercounty football, Ronan O'Neill, you can hop in here if you want. If it's not working for people, they just step out of the game. Do you know, if things aren't happening, life is going on. I don't know what Michael Daly's decision was or what reason was behind it. Ian Burke is living in Dublin, as he was saying to me. He's working in Dublin and he just couldn't commit to it again this year, you know?
Yeah, you just look at it there today and you're thinking, even if he wasn't a starter, he just adds more impact. Even if he does start, then it means they have someone else coming in off the bench. And you think, Jesus, like if they had those lads, I'm not sure with regards to the suspensions Mount Bellew picked up from the club final that time, if any of those lads were ruled out either, if they'd be coming back in next year and they'd add to it as well.
But, I think, Michael, actually, you might see a change in the shift in the mindset of intercounty players with the shortened season next year. And it'll be interesting to see what players will come back in now on the basis of this season, you know, and how it's been shortened.
Yeah. And the other thing I was just going to say, I was just thinking after watching the match as well, I know we'll all be glued to probably the Sunday game tonight when they're picking their team of the year. Do you think have Tom O'Sullivan from Kerry and Sean Kelly, have they lost their places on the team of the year where they were probably looking like you could say they were nearly going to be on it before today?
I think Tom O'Sullivan probably was a wee bit more ahead than Sean Kelly. But I think it just shows the influence that the level of performance Conor McCluskey had in the All-Ireland semi-final, marking Shane Walsh. It's obviously no easy feat marking a player of his quality. He probably will be under a little bit of pressure, but the fact that they've won it, maybe... I presume Jason Foley probably comes into the picture now.
Yeah, you're the savage game today.
Yeah, like to mark, obviously Galway's in form forward to the level he did. You know, not even, I don't think even Comer got a shot away. To be fair,
I think only one possession in the first half as well alone for Comer.
Yeah, but maybe it was a ploy by Joyce. Maybe it seemed from the TV that Morley was so close to Comer that it lacked more space for Shane Walsh, you know, to perform.
It was
a tactic where, you know, Comer was to be a deploy or decoy, obviously for Shane. But you're hoping that maybe in the second half that he would. There we come into the picture. He did catch a wonderful kick out and set up McDade for his fourth
point. It looked as well that, say, Finnerty and Walsh, their roles changed from the semi-final against Derry. It looked like Finnerty was doing a lot more of the tracking back where they were leaving Walsh further forward so he could have that greater impact
more
up the field.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Finnerty has a good brain on him anyway and a good football head where he did kick a few nice kick passes into Walsh as well. So it was probably a ploy maybe to get Walsh a 1v1 or maybe in a space inside the 45 where, you know, we can kick those points on the turn as easy as anybody. But It did obviously change, but you were hopefully expecting that Finnerty would kick in maybe one or two, or if Comer would get maybe a goal or a couple of points anyway, but it just didn't materialise.
John, thanks for calling in there.
Thanks, Tommy.
A couple of speakers on the line. Conor Neal, I hope you don't mind hanging on there for a second. He's wanted to start GA late night over the last few months. Can you hold on for 2 minutes, Conor?
I can, Tommy, yeah.
Good man, Conor. Just hold on there for 2 minutes. And Michael McMullen, if you don't mind holding on for 2 minutes as well. Owen Sheehan, a colleague of mine on Off the Ball, a Kerry man, is on the line. Owen, unmute your mic. Talk to us. How are you?
Not bad, Tommy. That was good. That was like a very, very good feeling, to be honest, at the end. It was just absolutely terrifying, wasn't it? The entire thing. Just the sense
tell
that
me.
Just like Shane Walsh just putting in one of the all time great performances in Croke Park. It was I was just like typical. Fucking typical. Like the guy hadn't been great the last couple of days and people were talking about him not doing it when it matters the most. And he proved them all wrong today with one of the best final performances I've ever seen in the flesh. And I was like, this is it. This is just Kerry's luck now. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Tom Sullivan, as the lads were saying, they're a banker for an all-star, got roasted by him. Graham O'Sullivan for a period got roasted by him. And Graham ends up having probably Kerry's best game. I thought he was possibly man of the match other than Shane Walsh. I would actually almost have him ahead of Clifford, but maybe that's just getting used to what Clifford does now. But I know it's obviously biased because I'm just so happy for Graham O'Sullivan because maybe he was like the unheralded man in that Kerry backline. But I actually think the realistic fact there is that he was just the least recognisable. And he's had to fend off serious competition all year to get that cornerback jersey. Like Paul Murphy probably gets into those six forwards with a little bit of a shuffle if Graham O'Sullivan wasn't good enough. So this guy kept him out of the team. He like when Dan Donoghue gets injured early in the year, he steps up and takes that cornerback position. And I don't know why, but that's just the thing that makes me most happy today is that he was just so good. I'm so, so happy for him.
Yeah, he was dead. He kicked the three balls in that got three marks in the first half.
Yeah.
Gary. Yeah. And he kicked a vital point in the second half coming in on it from a late run. But just his quality of kick passing from a cornerback, you know, it was absolutely frightening. It just shows the level of skills that all the players have in Kerry. So for him to come up with those acquisition of kick passes and his point in an All-Ireland final just shows the quality of him.
Myself and Owen have been in WhatsApp groups for a long time and I'm very used to Owen's running commentary journey of pure fear during the game. Owen, it's not a lie to say that. You were worried a couple of times, weren't you?
Of course I was. Like, I mean, and I was only using WhatsApp in the first half. Like, I just put my phone away in the second half, just couldn't look. Like, when Kerry go 2 points up in the second half and then Galway get 2 points in quick succession, like, that's when you start to think, shit, this could actually happen. Because, like, some of the perceived wisdom out there this week was that if it's a tight game, Kerry might pull away at the end of the game. When they start to do that and Galway pull them back, I'm like, Jesus, this could be a bit of a disaster. But, like, Galway were just so good. And honestly, I think they were probably better than I even thought in many ways. Because I think they all predicted, like, a cagey game. And it wasn't that. It was an excellent game. Yeah. And I just think they're point-kicking. I know it's not any incisive analysis whatsoever, but Galway are good at taking scores. And so I don't think Kerry would have bargained to concede 16 points today. I think they would have estimated maybe 12, 13, because that's what they've been trying to keep teams to most of the year. So to concede 16, like, that was a big problem for Kerry. And it was just their forwards prevailed. Like, two other lads, like, Dermot O'Connor was poor against Dublin. He was excellent today. Killian Spillane was poor against Dublin when he came off the bench. He was excellent today. And I thought it was ballsy from Jack to take the two boys off at halftime. Ganey deserved to go, but I would have kept Moran on, and that's why I know absolutely nothing. And Jack O'Connor is a very, very successful manager.
Owen, can I ask, did you find it strange that Kerry came back out so quickly after halftime?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Well, it was quick, right? It wasn't just that Galway were late.
No, he threw him back out the door. It felt like that. Joanne wasn't even finished half her analysis with Pat, and Kerry were back out.
That's interesting. I didn't realise that now. So that's... Yeah, like, I guess just don't be sitting down in the dressing room, make your two changes, get back out there. And, like, Galway kicked the first score in the second half as well. So, it didn't necessarily help. Also, as well, like, from the very first kick of the game, Shaun Shea, his ball trailing wide, I was like, Jesus, that will be the omen of people look back at this for a Galway win, that ball trailed off at the very start. That would have set the tone.
It was nearly more so one that Walsh responded on the far side with a huge free straight away off the bat. You just knew that Shane Walsh was on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, the thing is, like, most of the talk was around Homer as well in the build-up, just given how good he was in the semi-final. It's hard to know if Jason Foley did a good job on him or was it, like, the system in front of Foley that work. There's probably a bit of both. And like, I mean, there's another fellow who's really stepped up for Kerry this year. And Foley, like I remember we were down in Temple Thule at a McGrath Cup game at the start of the year, and we were chatting to Jason Foley's parents. And I know every man who wants to win in All-Ireland does this, but they were talking about Jason going out on Christmas Day for his run, the gear bag by the door, on the morning of Christmas Day, going out. And the thing that was motivating him going running on Christmas Day was Sam. And I know it's not, that's nothing unusual. People go training on Christmas Day all the time to win All-Ireland, but I just kind of remember that. And yeah, he's had an absolutely excellent season.
Owen, thanks for calling in. Go on and enjoy the celebrations. Are you in D2 yet, or where are you?
No, gee, my dad actually bought 9 tickets to D2 the other day before I had time to tell him that, you know, you shouldn't buy tickets for this life. You might get them late on, and also Kerry could lose the game. And they're 20 euro a pop. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, what are you doing?
He'd be making a profit on it now, Owen.
Yeah, 100%.
Owen, how soon can I expect a photo from you with the cup? Because obviously last season I trolled you from the Tyrone dinner in Clontarf.
Yeah, never forget. I don't know, actually. We might try and head down to Killarney tomorrow night. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't have any ins with the players, so possibly never, but sure, I don't care.
Enjoy
That's
it, Owen.
That's the challenge.
Enjoy.
That's the challenge. Right. Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck.
Well done. Well done. Bye-bye. Conor O'Neill. We haven't heard from you since Armagh were beaten. Talk to us.
How you doing, Tommy?
Well, Tommy, listen, I tried to get in the week after. I was calling your name, and it was someone else.
Oh, it was Will, yeah. I saw that. Will. I was listening. It was very funny,
call
yeah.
him Tommy. No, but first of all...
You were crying over a pint, if I'm right.
I was. I was crying. Lack of that. But here, okay. First of all, I want to say, first of all, Tommy Walsh, Shane Walsh, sorry, and Clifford, Jesus Christ, that was some exhibition the other day. Amazing. And actually, the last person I've ever seen play the Gat was a man who's on your panel.
Who?
Ron O'Neill.
Yeah?
I was playing for Socomans College, Corner Nogue, third year, and he was running about, scoring left, right and centre. I think he scored about 6-7 that day.
Ronan, can you confirm?
I think he has a better memory than I do. But
well, hi,
is Connor your cousin? Is Connor Ronan, your cousin, is he?
No, we're not cousins, mate. We're not cousins. But Ronan, do you remember who was the first team to beat this?
From Coleman's.
Amen, brother. Full forward. I've heard back in them days.
You were a full forward, Connor, were you?
I'd heard back. I was walking. What do you call that man, Roland? Sean Warnock.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Full back. That's right. Yeah. That wasn't today or yesterday?
No, it wasn't. It was something to do with the night, but I just had to get it in there.
Connor. Fair play.
Good man.
Anna, they're going to bring Michael McMullen in here. Thanks, Connor. We'll talk to you next season.
Good man. See you there.
Bye bye. Michael, how are you doing, John?
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, I'd say Michael, drive on there. We've
hey,
just
Michael,
lost
sorry.
Tommy.
Yeah,
you hear me? Yeah, but what a game! Everything that you wanted from the game, exciting, and I think the championship as a whole will be served well because it leaves it all very, very tight going into next season. The likes of Armagh and Galway and Derry will be looking at it, thinking, you know, bring on next year, but. The exhibition from Shane Walsh and David Clifford was just something to behold. It was brilliant. A lot was made during the week of Tadhg Morley, and he seemed to be pulled out of position, and Stephen O'Brien's 2 blocks would have kept Kerry sort of ticking. And, you know, Kerry would have been the happier team to win a point up at half-time.
Did O'Brien make the block? I couldn't see it.
He did. You know, they would have been the happier team at half time, and you know, as you were talking about on air, it was as if they went into the change rooms and Jack says, "Look, get back out again, and do yourselves justice." But you know, I think Kerry went something like 14-12 down, and then got the next 4 points. It was a big swing, and back to the first half. Galway did all the playing, but I remember glancing at the scoreboard, it was only 5-3, and you're thinking, they're not far enough ahead. And that probably told the story of the game. But it was just a savage game all round. You know, the likes of Graham O'Sullivan and John Daly playing the ball out from the back. Kerry going direct early on, at least, you know, high balls were punched clear. Galway dealt with it, you know, and I suppose the danger signs at half time is I think Kerry had seven wides maybe in the first half, you know, so
yeah.
It depends what way you look at it, you know, where Kerry sort of, you know, Galway could have been hanging on if that had took their chances. But like when I'm talking about the Walsh and Clifford, like what about the high ball that's through into Clifford? He was just one of them. And I think that's a coaching point for everybody across the game, that if you can get a big mobile hand that you can use, it's some passport to success. And the fact that Clifford's just one of the best whoppers ever just adds to that. But a great game, and it just adds to last week's hurling final, and it was a perfect way to finish the county season, I thought.
Yeah, no, it was class. Ronan, can I get you on the performances of Shane Walsh and David Clifford? Like, let's leave aside the leadership that was shown and the bit of fire that they brought to the biggest day of the year. The skill, the quality of the scores today were sublime, weren't they?
Oh, unbelievable. If I was Shane Walsh this week, you know, I would have been really annoyed that, you know, that he wasn't really being talked about in the same manner of, or just been talked about in terms of Comer and Clifford and Paddy Clifford, you know, and I would have had a bit between my teeth, and he definitely showed it. But I think the big thing about the both of them was, if you're a coach or if you're a player or anything, it just shows the massive importance of being two-footed. But they'd be able to kick off left side and kick off right side. And if you're a coach an underage team, you know, you'll be showing that performance, replaying it all the time, just for them two boys. This is what you get. This is what you have to be at, you know, to be the very best, or you know, to be playing at a high standard. So, just thought Shane Walsh is, you know, sidestepping, you know, his ability to create space. Clifford's hands, you know, I actually was watching Clifford. You know, he was actually standing still a lot of time in round the D.
Yes. Yeah,
but he was waiting for a drive, for a slip off, and all he needs is half a yard. And the same as Walsh. Walsh needs a half a yard. He doesn't even need any backlift from his kicks. And I'm sure it's ridiculous kicking trees with your right and left foot. It's maybe okay doing it in a league game, or maybe it's okay maybe doing it in a friendly. But to do it in an All Ireland final, an All Ireland semi final, obviously he's been doing too. It's the two boys are a joy to watch. And you know, we talk about going to pay and see players, but to see those two boys, you'd pay in anywhere to see them.
Yeah, Sarah, it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
I can't tell you how impressed I was with both players, but like, I suppose hurling for me last week was, you know, my Christmas. And this week I was glued to the game, so that, you know, I suppose the quality of the game last week and the quality of the game this week allies to the fact that, you know, summer football and summer hurling certainly add to the game and the spectacle.
I think I was a bit more impressed with Walsh than I was with Clifford.
Were you?
Yeah, I think, well, everybody expects it from Clifford, you know, whereas Walsh, we talked about all year, he's been a wee bit inconsistent, but, you know, to do it in the biggest stage, the biggest game, to kick the level of points he did, to keep his team in the game, you know, that's, for me, he was probably just a wee bit ahead of Walsh, or Clifford in terms of man of the match, so just to keep his team in the game for 66 minutes, so it was, but I didn't think he had that in his locker, because I thought he just lacked that bit of consistency, but that was a phenomenal performance.
He really proved it today, didn't he? And
he did.
I think I like what you said there, that he would have been annoyed and maybe pissed off during the week, that maybe he wasn't mentioning the same breath as others. And I don't know if he was or not, but it's interesting because surely players do care about that stuff, do they?
Oh, well, he would know himself that he didn't perform the levels that even the Connacht final in the All-Ireland corner final and the All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, use that little bit of adversity, that wee bit of motivation, you know, just to get yourself going into big games. And there's no doubt he had a spring to step all week in training and probably in the warm up today. So when he's on it, there's not much better, in fairness. But
yeah, and just the converse of that, because like a couple of players just couldn't get into the game, and sometimes that just happens. And as you said, maybe it was a decoy, or maybe, you know, you're still doing a job for a team. Like Comer didn't have the impact he would have looked for. Gainey got whipped at halftime.
Shawnee Shea
was kicked out of the game. Paddy Clifford was out of the game for a long time. Rob Finnerty, a couple of assists, but didn't get a score today. Like some, the games just pass you by. Like All Ireland finals. Like, are those boys going to be looking back with regrets? I know that the Kerry boys have won an All Ireland medal now, so they won't care. But will the Galway boys look back with regret, or will they look back and say we can build on this?
Well, I was probably maybe looking back and saying about maybe the occasion. It's their first time being All Ireland final. Just overall, the build up to it, maybe, and you know, the parade, and you know, 82,000 in the game. You know, it does happen. You know, as a management, probably, and as a team, you probably try to block it out in terms of you play the game, not the occasion. But it does happen. It's just natural. But it's just unfortunate. You know, we didn't get to probably see the best of Comer probably on Saturday. I thought Conroy had a very good first half, but then he faded in the second half. So I did some uncharacteristic things, maybe.
Got a couple of knocks though, Ronan. Like he, you know, he was targeted early.
He kicked a bad shot into the keeper's hands at a vital stage in round the D. I felt that he just felt that he needed to get on the score sheet where all he needed to do was keep the ball. I thought in the first half he was very good. I thought that's why maybe more and they took more often, because he seemed to get a lot of the breaks, the handy or the from kickouts, come out with the possession of the ball. You know, he seemed to be driving out with it as more so than Moore did. But it does happen. That's natural. It happens to us all. You just hope that Galway get another chance to rectify that situation in years to come.
Jack actually mentioned that David Moran was sick this week.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, maybe announcing that before the game would have been too much of a trigger, so they'd rather run with him to start and see how far he got.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably did have an impact. I don't think he was himself in the first half, to be fair. I know he did kick a couple of balls. He kicked a bad ball away over the sideline for Clifford when he was in 1v1, maybe.
I thought Clifford could have made that. I don't know if he slowed down.
he was shaking his head anyway. That would suggest that it was a bad ball.
I think it was definitely a bad ball, but I think he stopped a bit too early as well.
Yeah.
Brian, you're hanging on there, Brian McKeown. Do you want to have another question towards Sarah and Ronan here before we move on?
No, just to start with, well done, Ronan, on your corner and oak performance. You know, it's good to keep the MRIs in their place.
I know, I forgot all about that performance now, but I'll take that one.
What was the score? Seven, Ronan? Was it actually 6-7?
I don't know. I know we beat St Comans from first year to fourth year, and then they beat us in the fifth year final and the McCrory final. So
okay.
We had a thing to battle up in my college year. So
no, I know this year. And I have been criticising referees left, right and centre. And this year, there was a few rough performances. But today, Sean Horson, and I'm not just being biased as a throne man, Sean Horson had a great game today.
He did. And
it was really, he was in control of the whole game. You know, he didn't lose the head. Like, you could see referees losing the head, making bad decisions. But yeah, Sean Horson now, he done the referees a world of good today. That's all England saying that. And also,
hold their top for a second, because now this can kind of happen. But I did get a text from a Galway friend or two that the ref turned in their favour, in Kerry's favour towards the end. And I was picking my brains trying to figure out. Was there the Daly free?
Daly
free was harsh, but on the far side, like, was White shoulder on McDade? Was that a free? Could have been a second man in, or Jack Barry could have been in as well.
It's like a split second decision. He probably thinks that maybe Gavin White comes from behind a little bit, but or maybe Barry does. But
yeah, them
decisions are their 50-50.
Yeah,
but I know, like, I've watched a few games this year. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I've watched a few games this year now that. Like, you go back to Armagh Galway game, like, there was stuff going on, like, during the game, through balls, like, blatant through balls, the referee's missing it, like, stuff like that there, you know, like, that, that said to me, the referee lost control of a game, you know what I mean? Be small things like that, how can you miss things like that, you know? But today, Sean Horson was definitely outstanding, and he was a credit to the referees today, so it was.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Definitely was.
The game certainly flew, and the execution level across the game from both teams, I thought, was brilliant as well. Like, you picked out who mentioned that Graham O'Sullivan made the 3 passes in for the mark? Was that you, Ronan? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah. Oh, lads, do you like that? Sensational. Maybe Sarah, you were thinking the same, were you?
Yeah, she probably was. She probably did anyway.
Yeah. Anyone else stand out from the both games today? Like, who's going to get mentioned tonight? And for the three players that are going to stand out, it's going to be Shane Walsh. It's going to be David Clifford. McDade is going to be in the mix.
Kicking four from play and from midfield. That's really unheard of too, from a midfielder as well in an All-Ireland final. So
yeah,
I was a bit surprised to see him midfield start of the year. I didn't think that was probably his best position, but probably it is in terms of when the game when the ball's not in the air, you know, maybe he's a bit looser out there. I know from when we were in Tyrone and looking at Galway, didn't know whether he's a half forward or whether he's a half back. Or
yeah,
I know in some games he's done a wee bit of a detailing job as well, but he definitely came of age today.
I know a couple of Mayo people who look on and I think they think Pearce Hanley could have been maybe a bit more when they lost Pearce Hanley back in the day. So Kenny McDade, it's been sensational for them. He really has.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Kieran Malloy's performance as well, lads. Yes. Both sides of the pitch. Yeah, he got up the pitch, right? I think it was 2 points. And he got a point. Yeah, but I thought he was incredible today.
Big impact, yeah.
I thought John Daly was very good in the first half. Sort of his influence, sort of.
He's a lovely footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, yes. As a forward, he's probably a dream because he always looks for the kick pass.
Yeah.
To his forward line. But I thought young Jack Lynn did very well and Paulie Clifford. I know Clifford came into the game, but he was influential, obviously, in the Dublin game and the Mayo game before that. But
and got up with a score as well today. And a tough, tough score. Like he had two guys on him and managed to get the ball away. Big score.
I thought he was sort of a bit of a weak link at the start of the championship against Mayo and a wee bit against Roscommon, but he's grew with performances, and I thought he was excellent today in terms of, I've only ever seen one other person nullify Clifford, and that's Conor Myler, and I thought for 55, 60 minutes that other young lad, Glenn, definitely did the sort of same, had the same impact too.
Yeah, great shout. Yeah, it really was. There was like, okay, it's the end of the football season here, but it wasn't like Brian Cody to announce his departure from Kilkenny at a good point. Like, my God, what a career, Sarah. Like, I hope we had Dahi Regan on today, but we just weren't able to get Dahi on this evening to wrap up GA late night. But just a word on Brian Cody, please, and the legacy he's left behind. I'm going to come to rolling around it afterwards, but you weren't surprised by the news, were you, this week? I know there was rumblings all week.
I was in the end, actually. I was. But, you know, his career, an absolutely incredible career. I think he's got more All-Irelands than Wexford, is it? Himself. Some crazy stuff.
Most counties,
yeah. Himself. I think he's 19, is it? No, sorry. No, he's 19 championship seasons, isn't it?
It's 11 All-Irelands,
19 championship seasons, yeah. And look, just from the point of view of the, I suppose, the psychology of the teams that he's built in Kilkenny over the years and the lack of ego, and epitomised by the amount of players last night coming out on social media thanking him for their careers. You had Eddie Brennan, you had Henry Shefflin, you had Jackie Tyrrell. The list went on. These players.
I'm sure they text him as well, because I doubt Brian Cody's not him online.
Is he not online? Are you sure?
Maybe he is. Maybe he's listening in right now.
Maybe his wife is online and she does all the background, because behind every good man is a great woman. Just, you know. So I think he's an incredible legacy. I suppose I'm a little unsure as to who is going to fill the boots now, because initially, because of obviously Ballyhale's successes with Henry Shefflin, we probably thought he was the front runner.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's obviously committed to Galway now. So, you know, could either of you see him stepping away from Galway and being offered the job by Kilkenny?
I say it would definitely interest him anyway. Definitely. But again, it's a bit like Sir Alex Ferguson leaving Manchester United. Is it a poison chalice? In terms of going in and trying to replicate what Brian Cody has done too, you know, you have to make All-Ireland semi-finals, All-Ireland finals, and, you know, if you don't make it in your first season, you're under pressure already. So,
just to jump in there, Ron, like you saw it with Mickey Hart, was it?
Yeah.
20 years, Mickey was. It was 19 years, Mickey was there, and he stepped away. And it takes a brave management to come in afterwards. But Duher and Logan come in, and obviously, it just clicked.
Yeah, and that's obviously, it can happen too. Just add a little bit of freshness, you know, that rejuvenates players, or, you know, adds a little bit different to the style of play, and, you know, just brings a whole new energy to it as well. That obviously can happen too, and it happened to us last year, and it obviously worked out as the best honour ever to get, you know, in Gaelic football. So, yeah. It's a tough situation to be in. I'd say if Henry Shefflin did get a call, it definitely would interest him.
The question is, though, does Sir Alex or Brian get to decide who the next man in is? Was that his final kind of parting wish? Because I know Sir Alex went after David Moyes.
Yeah, I don't know. It could do. It could be indebted to, or Kilkenny County Board could be indebted to him in terms of gives him an opportunity to be on that selection process. But
maybe they want a clean slate too in terms of, you know, doing it proper and get somebody in fresh and picking their own man. So, well, we'll wait and see.
Right. Interesting 2 weeks ahead, yeah, and it's already been very interesting in different managerial changes and boat codes over the last couple of weeks, especially Tipperary and a few other counties.
Sarah,
what was Saturday like, the Camogie semi-finals? Like, we've now got Kilkenny and Cork in an All-Ireland final. Two tight games. Cork pull away from Waterford in the second half, really, don't they?
They do, yeah. So I did Co-Cam yesterday with Marty, so that was one for the bucket list. For the Kilkenny-Galway game. I was there for the Cork-Waterford game to start. I had said last week that I felt that Waterford could push Cork just because they have a very good midfield and they've got, you know, potent attack. And that proved to be true yesterday. Aisling Thompson was the big news yesterday morning. She managed to overturn a two-match ban and got to play yesterday. The Cork lads are great at overturning appeals. And
put it at two back in the day, weren't
they? Well, she came on after 25 minutes and look, she turned the game for Cork. Waterford ran out of steam. The game was level on 53 minutes. And then Cork pulled away in the last 7-8 minutes, no more than like Kerry today, I suppose. Just that greater quality got them over the line yesterday. And to be honest, and being very straightforward, it will be a better final for Cork being in it. Waterford, I think it would have been a step too soon. And based on what I saw yesterday between Kilkenny and Galway, like, cracking game. But yeah, Kilkenny's intensity was off the charts. Their tackle count, I want to know what their tackle count was at the end of it. Hooks, blocks, a great goal by Laura Murphy. And it was their defensive display that won it, that seems to always, you know, win big games for Kilkenny. So right now, based on, you know, yesterday's performances, I would say Kilkenny are edging it.
Okay. Yeah, that the Kilkenny-Galway tosses over the last couple of years have been fascinating to watch as well. So you think they're edging at the moment? Like, what would sway it for you over the next couple of weeks? Like, what does Cork need to do?
Unfortunately for Cork, they've kind of lost a lot of quality since 2018. So they beat Kilkenny by a point in 2018. You'll remember a late winner from Julia White. And out of that setup, Gemma O'Connor's gone, Julia White's gone, Orla Cronin's gone. I suppose Cork haven't had the opportunity to build kind of that quality again. So they would need to, I suppose, I don't know if they can. I'll be honest, I don't know if they can return that quality. Hannah Looney's back from New York and Aisling Thompson's back. Obviously, she's no longer tied with this second game ban. Critically, the place that Kilkenny struggled yesterday was in their midfield, and that's where Cork could possibly find change in 2 weeks' time.
We have two callers on the line here. Richard Hogan, I'm going to bring you in quickly first. Do you want to have a chat with Sarah and Ronan on GLA?
Sarah, Ronan, just like that Camogie performance, I'd say, Sarah, the epitome, that would have epitomised that Brian Cody performance. Brad and I are running to half it probably an hour after he announced his retirement.
I agree.
It wouldn't have surprised me at all if he'd announced it today. There's a skit Twitter account that goes around of him basically giving out. He gave out last week the skit account that the footballers got togged for the Junior All-Ireland. But anyway. So, look, it's going to be new for us down here in regards to picking a manager because we don't know what it's like.
Who do you want?
There are four or five front runners, and there's one actually dark horse as well, which they're obviously going to be aware of. Henry obviously has a decision to make. There's a lot that's gone on for Henry in the last 12 months with Paul. Fellahay lost their chairman last Saturday, just before the All-Ireland, he passed away. So maybe moving closer to home might suit Henry, but that's a decision he'll have to discuss with Pat McDonough as to whether that's going to happen. Eddie, Derek, they're obviously in the running. Mick Fenley. And the outsider is Brian Dowlin, Sarah.
Yes, yeah.
He's a contender. He's served his apprenticeship at Club Orland. You know, he's stuck around with the girls. He's got a good backroom team there as well. I didn't realise he has Gilly Larkin. He's Pat O'Dealan there with him.
And Tommy Shefflin as well. Yeah.
Tommy is a very underrated coach. Not many people outside know how good he is, but he is very, very good. So, in regards to that Camogie final, I would say it's probably more 50-50 than you're making it out. Aisling Thompson will be huge to get her back and get her on the field for 60 minutes. She could have a key influence on the game.
Yeah, you'll agree with me that the midfield yesterday for Kilkenny, until Denise Gall went back in there and Katie Power went to 11, that was the change that actually made Kilkenny's day.
The way I would see it is that if the trio of Denise Gall, Katie Power and Julian Malone is another one. If they can get going, those are the experience in the middle three. You also know as well, like Kilkenny have lost Colette Dormer, they've lost Davina Tobin,
Megan Farrell.
Megan Farrell, the two.
Aoife Doyle.
Yeah, well, you could say the three Farrells, including Shelley. I know Shelley's gone a long time now, but like since their last All-Ireland, there's a lot of players turned over. It's a kind of a new group. They looked hungry yesterday. They looked good defensively. But is that going to be enough against Cork? They've had problems beating Cork in finals, just coming up short. So all of that's kind of going to potentially play into it. But look, we'll just have to wait and see. Be hopeful that they put in a good performance anyway and see where it takes them. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months here. Club Championship starts next weekend, Hurlingham-wise. So I'm sure all of the big boys will be out scouting to see
exactly
who's going to be playing well.
And the question, yeah, I suppose, look, from Tip's point of view, they were anxious to get Liam Cahill in so he could look at the Intercounty Championships. You yeah. can't see Kilkenny acting as quickly.
It depends. I would think that the fact that Brian has made the decision at this stage, it's normally earlier than he has done before. But the season is kind of so up in the air this year. It's all kind of new as to whatever is happening. You're kind of having to check yourself the whole time. I don't know. I would say they might take a week or 10 days to assess the runners, the riders and see. Like, no one's come out and declared their intentions yet. And a lot of that might be predicated on what Henry decides to do. I mean, if we see an announcement from Galway in a couple of days that Henry's walking away, then we know he's involved. But
there's not a senior camogie getting talked about here. What about our man? What about our man?
They're into the final, actually, Connor.
Exactly. The big Calvin. I know all about it.
Well, Connor, do you know Jennifer Curry? So Jennifer Curry is a Cork woman and she scored in the region of 1-5 yesterday for Armagh and she's a multiple All-Ireland winner with Cork and she's years for the year and she's playing with Armagh on the 7th of August.
That's class, because I can tell you what, sir, right? I remember I was up, I'm South Armagh man, I was up sitting in the club, having a beer, you know, thinking Armagh's going to win the All-Ireland in the football. And I was talking to a man called Ozzy Goggin and he's married to a woman from Katie in Armagh. And he said to me, he goes, see if you ever say to a woman from Katie that they're not hunters, they beat you up and down the pitch. And he's like, right. So he goes, and then he looked at me like a face on him like he was beat many times. The man's been battered all his life.
Connor, what did you call in for? You must have something to add.
I think he was telling us that Armagh are in the Camogie final.
Oh, was he?
I was calling in to say that Armagh's in the Camogie final. Armagh got into the All Ireland Ladies semi final, and we got the quarter final. All right, we're back, baby. I'm telling you, see you next year. I'll be back.
Are you in club action over the next few weeks? Can we keep an eye out for you?
Shane O'Neill's Camlock. No. Hey, the football's gone out of me a long time ago. I'm a commentator tonight.
Like I know you are.
I'll tell you this. See this here. The football pod and the fucking late night amazing. Keep our lip. I'll be back next year.
Goodbye, Connor.
Send me a few pounds. Good luck.
Good luck, Connor. Thanks. Good luck.
Just before I go, lads, I would say that Tony Brown, in regards to Waterford, that choice of Waterford is for anyone. I think Tony Brown is probably their best bet. I think he, of any of the other ones that are there, he might go with Davies. I wouldn't be so sure if they go back to Derek again, but to me, he's probably the one that could get the bow set of that one.
That's interesting.
That's just my opinion. His reputation from his club days seems to be a good coach. Sorry, excuse me.
No worries, Richard. That's great. We'll leave you to it, Richard. Thanks a million, Richard. We'll let you go.
Good luck.
All right. Sarah, Ronan, thanks a million for joining me tonight on GA Late Night. Anything else to add before we wrap it up here for the summer? It has been brought to you by Guinness 00. more social occasions off the pitch are yours for the taking. Ronan, Sarah, anything else to add on today's All-Ireland final? It was a great game of football, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it definitely was a great spectacle. It's, I think people were expecting it to be a bit of a cagey affair. It sort of, it was at times. I heard the commentator saying that the crowd had gone a wee bit quiet, but then it obviously raised when a quality point or a quality attacking play or a defensive play materialised. But I think overall, as a whole, Tommy, I think the championship has been very exciting. A number of teams have been knocked out early. Big teams, you know, the Tottenham Cup has added excitement to it.
It's been fun.
Yeah, so I think as a whole, the championship, you know, has been brilliant and it was a fitting end to a brilliant year.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and Sarah, it feels like, especially in the, I know the hurling is a slightly different story at the moment, but in the football, any amount of teams can win it again next year. They'll be sitting down and saying, this isn't just Kerry's to win two or three or four in a row. There's a couple of teams now gunning for one.
Absolutely. And look, going back to today, 36 scores today, couldn't take my eyes off it. And, you know, that's testament to the conditioning of the players today. And the quality of the likes of Walsh and Clifford. And look, I was a big fan of Armagh all year. I'd be really looking forward to see what they're doing next year. Even looking at, obviously, the teams in Ulster and Ronan. I'm marrying a Tyrone man in 7 weeks. So that's where the Tyrone connection comes in. Yeah. And I suppose I've been fascinated by the Ulster Championship. And, you know, that's been one of the kind of highlights of the season for me.
That's class. Well, so best of luck for the next 7 weeks getting ready to go. Don't want to be annoying you on a Sunday evening anymore. But thanks for all your help over the series over the last couple of weeks.
Great. No worries.
Thank you. And Ronan, thanks a million for joining us this evening on GAA Late Night.
No ball. Thanks very much, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. And for everyone who's been listening in throughout the series and for calling in and chatting, the contributions have been brilliant. So thank you all so much. If you want to listen back to this show, you'll get it in the OTB GAA podcast feed. And that's where you get all the GAA from Off the Ball this week, from the hurling, the camogie, and the football, with reaction to today's All-Ireland final. Talk to you again soon.